War, Thomas finally came to see. Finally he saw, and he bowed down, Sean. Go ahead and do it, Sean. Bow down.
I will.
Lord,
I will bow
my
down.
My Lord and my God. Capital G, capital L. He had no problem. He knew. The whole basis of the battle was not just being even Messiah, but being God human flesh. So when Thomas the doubter finally fell to his knees, and when the revelation of the resurrected Christ struck him, was he lying? Was he lying?
No, no. Remember, there's two definitions of the word God, the ontological or Greek sense.
No.
And then there's a representational sense. Jesus had already said to Thomas in John 14, he was there when he said, have you been with me so long? You have not seen me? The Father is in me. I'm in the Father.
Right.
Thomas finally came to realize that. And I have no problem calling Jesus God. That was one of the first things I said when we started our conversation tonight. The problem I have is Trinitarian viewpoint.
It's hidden language. On your part, listen, this is really true. On your part, it's hidden because if you're to tell somebody, I don't have any problem saying Jesus is God, in your mind, small g, right?
No. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying. I'm not saying Jesus is a God in the sense that he's a demiurge or some sort of intermediate being between heaven and earth or something like that. I'm saying that since Jesus represents God perfectly, he's completely transparent. When you see Jesus, you see God in the flesh. That's what I believe. That's what the biblical witness says. It doesn't say anything about co-equality. It doesn't say anything about co-essential. It doesn't say anything about co-eternal. It doesn't say anything about three persons in one God. These are all later developments and theologies that came out of the sort of Hellenistic soup of the age.